Hi there, I'm K-Town, and on this edition of Mysterious Radio.
I think that my very first inkling that I was seeing things or feeling something different was after my dad died. I was going through a divorce, and shortly after, my doctor told me that I should go home and prepare my affairs, that I was going to die, and I had a life-threatening illness. And that pretty much put me in a catapult upside down. But I was starting to be curious of the unseen world. And connecting with my dad. Actually, I want to rewind. I remember communicating with my deceased aunt. I remember communicating with my deceased grandfather, and never really thought much of it other than, oh, they're talking to me. But then when my dad died, I was more curious in what happened to us when we die.
Okay, wait a minute, back up. I want you to tell us what, can you tell us about the communication? I mean, do you remember what happened exactly?
Oh, yeah. When I first started communicating with my grandfather, he came to me. I was camping, and Grandpa came to me in a dream the night before he passed away. And he showed me that we were walking on a path, and he was going one direction, and I would be going another. And he didn't speak to me in words. It was like a telepathic message. And that's when I just knew in that moment that he was, when I woke up, he was crossed.
Okay, so this was like a something visual you saw with your eyes, or
this was a dream.
Oh, well, a dream. Got you.
But my aunt would come to me in flashes or visions. She was a nun, and she passed away at the age of 24. So so that's when I had visions of angels when I was a kid. I would remember walking to the park with my mother, telling her that there was an angel with us. And she just talked me out of it, that there was nobody with us. And so that's kind of what began. And I just kept brushing it off. Being raised in a Roman Catholic family in Canada, it was not something that was discussed or encouraged. But so the curiosity was always there. Of what happens when we die, what happens, getting these messages or connecting to the unseen world, being curious about the mysteries that were hidden knowledge. And it seemed like I could never get enough. Well, I was Catholic. I would go to the school library. Of course, there was no, there was no books about the occult or any of the unseen mysteries in a Catholic school library. So I would try and hunt and peck and find other mysterious books with information that I could gobble up.
Most people, I guess like most psychic mediums that I've interviewed, they normally have like tons of experiences in like different homes that they grew up in. Like they see spirits and things like that. Maybe they might even be like out and about somewhere or in a friend's home or something like that. Did that ever happen to you?
Well, I remember seeing spirits down the hallway in my home growing up. And I would discuss it with my mom. Of course, she said there was nobody there. So I was talked out of whatever I was seeing. I didn't have a support system to encourage my visions. And this is the truth with everybody. I believe everybody's psychic. And I've for the last 24 years, I've been teaching people how to develop their clairvoyance and connect with their spiritual abilities. At the time and the era, I didn't have that support system. So it was my own discovery through time that I started to validate what I was seeing. And truthfully, it wasn't until I had a near-death experience that I completely, wholeheartedly was forced to acknowledge the unseen world. Because
Go ahead.
No, after my experience, that's when I started to see into interdimensions. So I began to see entities that other people couldn't see. For instance, the Egyptian deities. Sekhmet was the first deity that came to me. She's the lioness Scott face with a female body. And truthfully, I didn't understand the notion of Egyptology. I didn't really resonate with the perception or the idea that there were many gods or there were these deities that existed. It wasn't until I was there in Egypt that I was, through the process of meditating in different temples and really, I think, throwing myself wholeheartedly into making my life different, is when it started to speak to me. And it was phenomenal. I mean, really, that's what you start thinking. This is phenomena. I'm really freaking making this up. This can't be true.
Okay, so before we go too far, I want you to go back and tell us about your near-death experience, if you don't mind talking about that. Tell us what happened to you.
You know, after my dad died, and my I was going through divorce, and that trauma that I originally told is that I spent about 7 years with different modalities. And then, my career was so bright that, yeah, I practically had to wear sunglasses. It was so bright. But I was a six-figure income earner, but something was missing. Something was yearning within me for something richer, something deeper, something more spiritual. So that's when I got the inspiration to go to Egypt. I booked this trip. I went all by myself with a group of people. I didn't know anybody. So I had this two-week journey of, like I said, meditating in the temples, and prayer, deep prayer work, and connecting with alternate dimensions, which perhaps I didn't realize is what was really happening. Then I extended my stay. I was buying some beads outside the Valley of the Kings for some jewelry. I made jewelry at the time, and I wanted these antiquities to incorporate in my designs. And that's when my friends that were hosting me brought out a joint. And honestly, I don't smoke, and I've smoked pot maybe a handful of times in my entire life. And I refused because, one, I don't smoke. I didn't enjoy it. And then they were insulted, and they were screaming and yelling. And anyway, the joint came in, and I thought, you know, I'm insulting the guy. I should probably just go along with the process because I need to get out of here. I was flying home that day from Cairo, Luxor to Cairo, and then back to San Diego. So what ended up happening was as the joint passed, everybody bounced up, ready to go, and I couldn't get out of the chair. I found myself standing behind my body. I watched myself, and it was as if I could see everybody's life review in front of me. Like, I don't know if you remember the days in Circuit City or Fry's. They used to have all these televisions lined up, and they'd be showing different shows. And that's what everybody's life looked like to me. I was looking at their review. And I wanted, I thought, I can stay in my body. If I just get some water on my face, I can snap myself back in my body. Because I was kind of going back and forth, back and forth. So I'm standing behind myself, and then I pop back in my body, and I'm like, I have to stay here. So I get this water in my hands, and my hands coming up to my face. And I'm thinking, oh shit, my mascara is going to run. You know, that was the last thought I had. And then I popped out of my body. Everything went black. Now, what they told me happened is that my heart stopped and my breathing stopped. They were pounding my chest with all their might. This is outside the Valley of the Kings in a very rugged, primitive village. And it's all mountainous, and it's like stepping back, you know, thousands of years in time. You've still got, you know, donkeys pulling carts, and yeah. So that's what happened. I had the next moment in time that I had a conscious memory that day was myself shooting through the cosmos, headed towards greenish blue ball, off into the distance. Looked like a marble. And I kept getting closer and closer to this ball. And I knew that was where I was going. I felt like a stream of light through the sky, like a comet. And it kept getting bigger. And I'm thinking, oh my God, how am I going to find myself? So I get to that closer and I'm hearing this language and voices that I didn't recognize. I don't know where I am. And then it was almost like a soul or a spiritual GPS going do, 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 do. And then I went, oh, I'm in Egypt. I left myself in Egypt. So when I found my body, then it felt like the longest time and effort took to get into my body. I was struggling it. Have you ever put on a wet suit or wet clothes? That's what it felt like, trying to struggle and get into my clothes. And I couldn't get into my body. And it was extremely rigid, thick, and heavy. But when I finally was able to get the sense that I was in a truck, my friends had loaded me up in the front seat of a pickup truck. We were barreling down the road, and I could hear the sounds, and I could hear their voices speaking Arabic. Didn't know what they were saying. And I reached out. I couldn't open my eyes, so I just touched my friend's arm. Where are you taking me? And they said, well, the hospital. And so that kind of panicked me because all I could feel was my gut ready to explode. My bowels, I just needed a bathroom. The next problem became, oh God, you know, they're taking me to a hospital. That's going to kill me. I just want a bathroom. And in their minds, they're thinking, what bathroom are we going to take her to? Because in the primitive village, there was no toilet as we're accustomed to here in the West. There's 2-foot spots and a hole in the ground. And I couldn't stand. I didn't realize that. They were thinking, oh my God, she can't even walk. How are we going to get? So that became the next issue. They took me into a flat. Finally, they sort of scrambled, got me to their brother's flat. And it took me some time to recover. And my friend was just sitting on the edge of the tub next to me, crying and crying and crying. And he said to me, you don't understand. You died. And I felt bliss. I felt total peace. I felt light. I felt such contentment and just an overflowing sense of bliss.
So, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. So this was a real medical emergency where your heart stopped and these people had to restart your heart, and you were having all these experiences,
right?
Seemingly on the other side. Okay, all right.
Yeah, and so actually, I didn't know what I wasn't consciously aware that I was something happened to me. He kept telling me, "You died. You don't understand, Amira." I was just feeling total bliss. But when they got me to the bed as I was recovering, that's when I started seeing the entity Sekhmet, the lion face with the female body. And I kept looking outside in the Egyptian valley overlooking the Nile, thinking, that's real. I can't look at the armoire in the wood grain because that's where I'm starting to see stuff. I'm losing it in my mind. And it continued from that day on. It lessened. Actually, there's things that shifted when I got back. I flew from Luxor to Cairo, Cairo to New York that day. When I got off the plane in New York, I started to see what I call walking paper dolls, black and white. That's how all the people in the airport looked at me. And all I could feel and sense was a heavy energy of grief and anger and despair. And I wanted to not be here. I was horrified. And it wasn't till I got to San Diego, kind of a pretty much a full day flight, that changed. But I was stuck in that vibration of death and this anger and despair for about 9 months. I went everywhere to try and find out, to like 20 different psychics, trying to figure out what happened to me. Where did I go? What happened to me on that day? And it wasn't until I realized I had stuck energy. I started working on that using some techniques. I started receiving downloads of where I went. And that's when I started to understand what I saw and where I went in the quantum field. I didn't have words for it. This was back in 1998. There was very little discussion about the quantum field. But that day when I left my body, what I discovered was that I connected to the fabric of all creation.
What abilities have you had? I mean, different people, you know, different psychic mediums have different abilities. So what abilities do you have exactly?
what I'm able to do is talk to our deceased loved ones, spirits, people that are stuck in between worlds. I'm able to connect with ascended masters. I channel beings from other planets, other worlds, other dimensions. I'm also able to, because I'm clairvoyant, and I specifically worked, practiced, and learned techniques to apply to developing the third eye. And when you have that ability, then you can see energy and you can heal. And I am a quantum energy healer, so I can see the energies. So that's where I'm different than a lot of other psychic mediums, because I believe it's great, it's fantastic to be able to connect with loved ones and get information, but it's a whole other thing to be able to heal our physical bodies, heal our emotions, heal our, our life, our relationship. Where are we going?
I want to ask you this, and I know that people will have, once people know that you can do these things, I'm sure people have actually reached out to you and said, hey, I have something living in my house, or something's following me, or, you know, things are going on in my home. I mean, are you called to do things like that, go in and clear homes and things?
Yeah, I've been called a ghostbuster. Yeah, and sometimes that happens. There's entities or attachments that get attached to, it could be a used piece of furniture. It could be an entity or a being that you, globbed onto you when you were walking through the mall. I mean, our energy is easily tracks us. So it could be an emotional experience that you had. I see them as windows or doorways where this entity or this being came in. I have this client that I'm thinking of that reached out to me. We used to connect once a year. She said, Amira, can you please look at my son? Sure. She goes, he's been depressed lately and he's acting up at school. Teachers want to put him on Ritalin, and she didn't want him to do that, right? So when I'm looking at him, he's about 8 years old, and I said, geez, you know, this is going to sound weird. And this has got to be at least 15 or 20 years ago. And somebody in this audience is obviously being affected with this, so that this is why the story's coming through. So I'm looking at him, and I said, I see aliens plugged into his head, and they're looking through his eyeballs like a periscope on a ship. And they're using your son as a vehicle to see what humanity is like or what we're doing. So I couldn't identify who the beings were, these aliens, but I unplugged them, the ship, and then there was a mothership that the ship was plugged into. So I erased those connections and disconnected everything. She went to pick up her son from school, and she said, oh, honey, I talked to Amira today. And he said, oh, okay. And she said, we sent E.T. home. And she said, oh my gosh. He was in the back seat saying, Mom, they were my friends. Yeah. So he was well aware. She also informed me that all his paperwork, all his art and his drawings, everything has E.T. doodlings and spaceships. So he was very well aware that they were plugged into his head. But most eight-year-olds don't know, they just are fascinated with something. And it's really these beings that are influencing them or affecting them from the outside.
Let me get your thoughts on, remote viewing. Is that something you can do too?
Yeah, remote viewing, that's just another word for your clairvoyance. So in fact, I find remote viewing a little stale, because I can see the energy for healing. That's how I use my abilities. But yeah, remote viewing is stale. It's very methodical, and it's usually using a part of your analyzer or a tools to contain your direction and what you're looking at, but it still does tap into your unconscious. So I use, like I said, my pineal gland and my clairvoyance to look at the vibrations and the frequencies. But, I've used my clairvoyance to assist, let's say, a prosecutor and hung juries, but I haven't used it to find missing persons. I play the game myself with the true crime shows and sort of, just playing with the energy, but I haven't done it as a professional. It hasn't been something that interested me.
Okay, elaborate a little bit on the hung jury aspect of. Tell me, what do you mean by that?
Well, they couldn't come to a decision. The jury that they had selected, they were stale. So they couldn't convict the person. And this was a sexual crimes case. So the prosecutor reached out to me. And so what I do is I look at the energy of it. So because they couldn't come to a unanimous decision, I was able to move the energy so that they could come to an agreement. So whatever it is that we want in our life, whether you have a property or a home for sale that just will not sell, or whether you've got an issue in a relationship or a healing issue, a physical health issue, whatever the problem is, when we move or change the energy, we can create the results we desire.
Okay, though, that is interesting there. We're going to stay there just a minute. I've never heard that before. An attorney reaching out to a psychic medium to help. Was it to influence the jury one way or the other? Or tell me about it. I mean, because they would have to believe in your abilities as well. Not saying anything's wrong with that. But, I mean, that's like totally unorthodox. You know, you don't ever hear about anything like that. So tell me.
But here's the deal. The jury did not know I existed.
I know. But are they reaching out to you to influence the decision one way or the other?
No, we weren't looking to influence the decision. We were the guy was found guilty. The question is, what was, I think, what was his sentence going to be? What were they and what he was guilty of, which were the issues. Some were guilty, some weren't, right? And some couldn't come to a decision. So
all the jurors had their own
right. Decision. They had differing opinions. So we had to bring them together. They had to come to a unanimous decision. And so that's what I did, was to clear the energy so that they could get clear on what it is that they wanted.
So it wasn't, okay, was it to, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but was it to influence the jury to come out to a guilty verdict or
no?
Or to come, okay, but was it to come to some type of decision as far, a unanimous decision as far as the sentencing was concerned? I don't know how that works, but.
It was to determine what he was guilty of. I think there were several, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a legal beagle here, but it was either what situations he was guilty on and which he was not, I can't even remember the details on that. Quite honestly, all the prosecutor wanted was a final decision. The jury had to come to agreement. And so in order to do that, I cleared the energy so they could. And within a day and a half, they came through.
That's interesting, though. I've never heard that. And is that something that you still do ongoing? I mean, how did he know to contact you? I mean, is this somebody you knew prior or?
I did know the prosecutor prior to, yeah. And she knew more or less what I did. And so I just said, well, hey, if you got a case that you can't, make a decision or there you can't move forward with, let me know. So it was an opportunity for me to work with her, but it's probably something that most prosecutors or detectives or, district attorneys won't admit that they're working with a psychic. It's very selective.
They're not going to admit that. There's no way they're going to admit that. That's just.
Exactly. In fact, most of the clients that I work with are professionals and highly successful, and rarely do they refer someone to me because they don't want anyone to know that they're working with someone like me.
Well, I know they, now this really happened. I mean, I know they really do reach out to psychic mediums. I've interviewed like one guy who does like a ton of famous people out in California. And I know they do reach out to him for like things concerning stock market and work anything about earnings, stuff like that.
But my point is they're not going to tell their friends.
No. And he doesn't share it either. I mean, I couldn't get him to tell me nothing about any of those people. So,
yeah. Well, I've helped a royal princess. Well, I was living in Dubai for 5 years and the royal family had reached out to me. And actually there's many, many, many royal family members. So I've worked with numerous ones. But this one princess reached out to me. She had a number of issues that she wanted to resolve. One was her physical health. Two, she had no passion. She couldn't, she was going to bed like with her kids, you know, at 7 o'clock at night. And she wanted to get pregnant. Now, here's the deal. She already had three children, but as a royal princess, her job, and this is hard for Westerners to conceive or comprehend, her sole purpose really was to have and conceive children. And so she had three kids, but they were all conceived with IVF, in vitro fertilization. So they had tried the fourth attempt and it failed. That's when actually her sister found me and they summoned me to the palace. Went to the palace and she told me what she wanted. And I'm thinking, oh my good God, this is what she wants me to do, is help her get pregnant. And so her husband, without saying any names, is like in the top three of the hierarchy of the royal family in charge of the country. And he's in charge of the police. And as a psychic or as a energy worker, somebody that they could perceive that I did black magic, it was a highly risky thing for me. If they perceived that anybody is doing what they call black magic or mysterious things, they could throw you in jail. So I was caught between, you know, a rock and a hard place, because I'm thinking, oh my God, what do I do here? Anyway, my teachings and the way I teach people and developing this is to always speak and say what you see. What I saw for her was that she had an emotional trauma at the age of 18. And I asked her, what happened to you at 18 years old? And she says, oh my gosh, she goes, I cried for 2 weeks. I was planning to marry one man and my family informed me that I was marrying somebody else. And it was inside the royal family. And she was his cousin, so she was related to the prince, but she didn't want to go that close inside the circle, right? Because that meant her whole life would change. It was, would be very closed off. Well, bottom line here is after six sessions, I think, or eight sessions, she called me and she said she was really excited and her husband was coming home early and all of these things started changing. And I said, guess what? Don't be surprised if you get pregnant before you start your fifth round of hormone treatment. And sure enough, she got pregnant naturally without the hormone therapy. She delivered a happy, healthy baby boy. And she only had contacted me to hopefully help or facilitate the energetic conception using IVF. She'd never thought in a million years, because doctors had told her that she could never conceive naturally. So there you go. It's energy. It has to do with our frequency and what I call energetic alignment. So whether we're talking to dead people and having that streamer or that connection to them, or to creating something in our life that we desire, truly, truly desire, I'm able to see the energy and facilitate it, bring it closer to you.
Let me ask you something. That's amazing. I want to ask you something about, like, when you are getting ready to do a reading for people. And anyway, are you taking readings? Are you currently doing readings?
I do one-on-one readings. However, I don't do single sessions with people. I do a series of four. Why? Because I'm not here to work with tire kickers. At this point in my life, I truly am committed to helping people see a difference and make changes. I give them tools, my quantum energy tools that I develop, to help facilitate holding the new vibration. When I change your energetic space, you're not, most likely not going to hold on to the new vibration because it's foreign to you. So it's almost like going to the gym or having a coach. We have to get our body needs time to adjust to all of these changes. And I want to give you the best, most lasting opportunity to hold on to this new frequency that's new to you. So that's why I do four sessions minimum.
Okay, you do four sessions, and how long are they?
They're about an hour.
Okay, so you can do them on Skype?
I do them on Zoom, phone or Skype. Yeah, for 20 plus years, I never used Zoom. Up until Zoom became so popular, I did everything over free conference line. I don't have to see a person to see their energy. And I guess you could say that's like remote viewing, right? I'm dialing into your frequency. What I do is I like the voice. I tap into the voice and the name. When a person says their name, there's a frequency associated with their name. That's their soul's vibration.
And tell me, do they have to prepare in any type of way? I mean, beforehand? Do you ask them to do anything at all?
Not a thing. No, your soul, your spirit communicates to me. So I can see that you were scrambling at the beginning of our call. And so the energy was a little helter skelter, right? And so I can see the energy, and that's all good. And what we can do is we ground and we get clear so the messages can come through. So I have people a lot of times working, you know, through grief or struggling with the loss of a loved one or a shocking shift in their career or relationship. And so, you know, we're all going through these massive changes and want clarity and understanding to maybe improve our life or make the best decisions for ourselves. Because at the end of the day, what do we want? We all want to be happy. We all want our harmony.
I don't know if I heard this or not, but let me go back to it. The extent of your abilities, can you hear them? Can you see? Can you smell? I mean, can you tell me about, I mean, because some of them can actually, I mean, smell, hear, see everything when they communicate.
So yes, we have five that we are identifying, the clair abilities, you know, clairsentience, clairvoyance, claircognizance, that's clair knowing, clairvoyance. And all of those spiritual abilities, we all have them. But for some of us, they're not turned on as, let's say, full volume. Now, sometimes I'll smell a spirit. It depends on, let's say, my ability to connect with them in a particular time frame. So let's say I'm just making dinner or doing dishes, and all of a sudden I smell cigar smoke. That might not be my guide. It could be somebody that's trying to come through to me. And so I can taste things from time to time. I can smell things from time to time, but it has to do with the connection strength between the other spirit or and me at the time. Sometimes one ability to hear will be stronger versus. And sometimes the hearing and the seeing sort of dovetail together. So I'll see pictures and I'm hearing at the same time. And then I'll feel something. I'll feel like, geez, I got a really sharp pain at the back of my head. Have you been getting headaches? Or, you know, I'm all of a sudden my stomach's super tight and I can see an ache or pain. Or the loved one on the other side is showing me their last physical experience. Recently, I talked to a woman and I was connecting with her son, and he showed me. So I was just trying to find out what the cause of death was. And he showed me a fuzzy, fuzzy head, and it was like this white powder. And so I said to her, I said, well, I'm seeing your son is showing me this white, fuzzy powder. She goes, yeah, he died of a cocaine overdose that was laced with fentanyl. So, you know, sometimes it's a sight, sometimes it's a feeling or a sense.
And are you always able to make contact with that loved one that they want to reach, or is there moments where you can't do it?
Well, I'll share with you my own personal experience. My ex-husband committed suicide just a little over 2 years ago, and I tried to connect with him, and I could not get anything. It was like a sound board. It just was dead. It was dull. There was no bounce back. And it took some time. And then all of a sudden, I started connecting with him. I was walking at the park and he was showing me these pictures. And it was strange because it was as if he was not like a teenager in a way. He was shy. He was acting rather immature. And I was trying to understand what he was trying to say. And so it took over a week or two. Our connection got stronger and stronger. And then he started showing me memories and pictures of times where we actually had some good times. Of course, the last number of years, you know, I was reflecting on the not so fun times together, right? That's obviously why you get divorced. But it was like he never believed in God. And he always believed while we were together that when we die, we're just finished. It ends. And I believe his spirit was showing me that he was like stuck in a process for that 2 years. All I did was I kept connecting him up to the Supreme Being and his, and doing what I know when I see a spirit that's stuck or lost. And so I was working on healing his spirit so that we could communicate. So that has happened. Sometimes I get very short messages from people because they're in that realm or that dimension of initial stages of processing. Yeah, I think heaven is multidimensional, and we could probably never comprehend all of it.
Are you able to maintain contact for a long period of time? I mean, or does that usually on average? I'm saying, I know everyone's different, or every case is different.
Well, you know, sometimes it's a very long message. Sometimes it's a whole dialogue. You know, sometimes I'll start working with somebody and all of a sudden their grandmother comes in and it's all about, let's say, cooking, and she wants to, you know, so sometimes it's usually for a lesson, like, okay, grandmother's saying you're not cooking. Well, what is it that you're not taking care of yourself? And so then we can explore perhaps how that message is serving the individual in the moment, right? Maybe they're just ignoring better diet or eating habits, or maybe they've, stop believing that, you know, they deserve to have good, wholesome nourishment. Could be as simple as that. And grandma loving you, let's say, or just wanting you to know that you're loved. So the messages vary. Every single time is so different, you know. Sometimes they're extremely active. Other times they're just, like my ex.
I'm sorry to hear about him, really. I'm sorry to hear about
that. Well, honestly, I'm laughing, and I don't mean it to be, I am lighthearted about it, because quite honestly, he showed me so many, we've got to heal a big part of our relationship. And the way I look at suicide, you know, and it's taken me some time to get to this place, is I also see that that was his soul's choice. He was looking for that lesson in his journey of exploration, right? And he was struggling in terms of mental health. COVID really took him hard because he couldn't travel, and that was his thing that he loved. And so I think it's just going to be a matter of time before his spirit is out exploring realm of heaven, wherever that might be for him. But the beautiful thing is we're healing aspects to our relationship that we never got to resolve. So is it a sad thing? Or is it a wonderful thing, you know?
I always find it fascinating for those that really want to test the limits of their abilities when they go, and they may take on like cold cases for, you know, true crime, unsolved cases, and they'll actually let you see like the readings, and then, you know, once, you know, they'll be doing this, I guess, for themselves for some years. And then like this one lady I saw, she does this, and she sends in what she has found out that she's confident about. She'll send it into the FBI, actually. But she didn't do that for a long time. You know, it took a long time to actually build up to doing that. But, you know, when you can do that and you can help people solve some of these cases and put some of these people behind bars that belong there, it's just it's an amazing gift to have. But have you ever thought about doing that?
Well, I'm here to help heal those people who reach out, right, or hear about me and want to also learn how to manage their own energy and heal themselves. So I do have a fascination with cold cases and true crime, but not, you know, honestly, as we talked about, you know, the prosecutors and the whole, you know, police department, and they don't really, yes, they're opening up to it now, but I've been on this journey for so long, it hasn't been something that I wanted to reach out for more ridicule.
Well, you know what? No, listen, yeah. I totally get it. And everybody has their own forte, you know, it may not be your forte, you know, the energy work. And I told that's very much needed. And I know for one, I know that is very real, and more people need to pay attention to energy and manifestations and things like that, which is what I'm going to have you come back on the show and talk about.
Well, you know, we're talking about it, but when we leave this world, the only thing we take with us is our energy. And so if I can communicate with a deceased loved one it's because their energy has reached a particular level and they're able to transmit a signal or a message, and whatever medium, that's how they're picking it up, might be stronger on the earthbound side or like in human form, but it depends on the spirit of the person and how far they've also developed. Now, yes, we can communicate with, you know, grumpy ones or nasty ones too, but I don't like to play in that realm because there is some nastiness with that, you know, or demons and all.
Yeah, but how do you stay away from it?
Well, you don't stay away from there's two parts to that. One is being aware of my energy every single day. I keep it clear. So I'm going to be less inclined to attract that low frequency. Okay. But that, is it foolproof? No. Because energy, the very nature of energy, is always moving. Our spirits are infinite. We continue in various forms forever. And so my job, as I see it, after my near death, I started to truly understand, is my job is to raise my frequency. And part of all of that process, we will open up our natural spiritual abilities. Every single person walking is a medium. Every single person listening to this is psychic. Now, you may not trust it, you may doubt it, you may not act on it. You know, that beautiful woman that gives her information on cold cases, God bless her, right? I will give messages to friends or information that I get because that's just who I am also, but it's for a different reason. I'm here to support and amplify the experience here living in the body. Because the work and the processing and the development, the awareness that we develop as a human or a spiritual being having a human experience matters the most. It doesn't matter when we die. So healing ourselves of our trauma, our pain, our grief, you know, all of the life experiences to me are what matters, because that builds your frequency that then becomes a natural decoy to dark and lower vibrations. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. That makes sense. And you know what? I mean, everyone's experiences play into the things that they want to do later on in their life. Like, for instance, speaking about her and her choice to help these victims of these horrific murders, her own daughter was taken by
exactly.
way of a violent crime. So she's dedicated her life to try and help other people, and people on the other side see justice for what's been done to them and their life being cut short like that. So I totally get it. But what you do too is so very, very important. And I think this is a good time to actually have a segue into your book. I want you to tell my listeners about your book. And I'm going to have you come on the show and we're going to do a part two to this. And we're going to talk about your manifestation. But tell them about your book, where they can get it, and what they're going to learn from it.
Yes, Manifesting Miracles 101. It's actually a guidebook. I created it in reverse. I started training people how to develop their clairvoyance and how to heal themselves or to see the energies to heal themselves in situations. And so that's how the book came to be. It's basically ABC, 1, 2, 3, here's all the tools. I don't hold back on anything. All the techniques to create what you want, you know, and to get into what I call the flow, into that zone of manifesting. And you can get my book on Amazon and just look for my name, Amira Hall, and Manifesting Miracles 101.
All right. Again, my special guest is Amira Hall. Her book is called Manifesting Miracles 101. That is available on Amazon. I will also have it on the website, okay, under your bio. And Amira, many blessings to you, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
To find out more about our guest and all others, please visit our website at mysteriousradio.com. And I want to give special thanks to our co-creator and executive producer, Kim Kyle, who brought this show to you today. And working hard behind the scenes, our team of four, I want to thank them as well. Follow us on social media and share the show with others that may like the subjects that we cover. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio.